You are tuned in to the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl Watchlist Show with your hosts Rick Staratella and Joe Everett, featuring NFLPA Bowl Executive Director Dane Vandernat.
We don't need a jump start over here. We're revved up, ready to go. It's the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl Big Board Show, episode number 3. We've broken down all the episode number 4, I believe. Let me remix that. We've broken down all the offensive prospects. Last week we did the defensive line. Today we're going to talk about some edge rushers and linebackers. I am your host, Rick Saratella, one of the scouts here for the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl. We have an exciting new announcement about some additional scouts. We'll talk with our Director of College Recruiting, Dane Vandernat, in just a second about those additions. And, of course, my co-host, Joe Everett, rocking and rolling every week along the way, counting down to that 2020 NFLPA Collegiate Bowl held January 18th, 2020 at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, the historic Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California. So, you know, whether you are a NFL team listening to the show, if you are a media member, a fan, a player, just keep a lookout for all the announcements. Make sure you book your flight, hotel, all that good stuff. Get on it early because we're going to give you plenty of reasons to be there. Let's welcome in Joe Everett, my co-host for the next 45 minutes or so. Joe, how's it go?
Going really well. I'm just on the precipice of the season, so fired up watching Daryl Taylor footage as we speak, getting primed for this show. So it's football is dialed up to the 9.
Hey, multitasking over here. I love it. You know, the NFL preseason is underway. Of course, college football right around the corner, the week 0 kicking off in about a week or so. And nobody's putting on more frequent flyer miles than this man. He's the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl College Director of Recruiting, Dane Vandernat. Of course, 10 years with the Raiders, learning from the legends like Al Davis and the business. He joins us right now on the hotline. We welcome him in, Dane. So happy to have you here. Take a quick time out from your travels. I know you got a lot to get to, but we appreciate you spending some time each and every week with us here.
Yeah, absolutely, fellas. It's great to be back on, and always excited to step away real quick here and get on with you guys and chop it up a little bit.
Yeah, so let's do it. You know, earlier this week, we put out a press release announcing some additional scouts for the NFLPA Bowl and some guys that you're pretty familiar with.
Yeah, you know, I'm very fired up, Rick, because I think that for you and I, we've got some great additions to our scouting staff. And I know that we'll foreshadow a little bit with Vaughn jumping on here in a minute, but able to add 3 guys that I work very closely with at the Raiders, all of them draft picks that know what it takes to play in the NFL and successfully transition their careers from being a player to being a scout, and couldn't be more fired up to have them joining us. And, you know, just gives me all the more confidence in the world, Rick, that we're going to nail this thing and that we're going to be able to really get our eyes on these prospects and get the best roster that we can for down at the Rose Bowl in January 18th.
Well, Dane, I've been following your travels, and for selfish reasons, I got to jump in and ask you about Iowa State football practice. I've got just a ton of respect for Matt Campbell, his staff, what he was able to do at Toledo. So what was the atmosphere like? What was the practice? Just the intensity. I mean, it seems like he's getting some dudes out there in Ames.
You know, Joe, you're absolutely right. It was a great practice to be at. Those guys were out there competing. They were practicing hard. And I'll tell you what, I've been down to some SEC schools, and I know that Vaughn will praise some of the Alabama and Auburn recruits here in a minute, but I'll tell you what, I was really impressed with the size of Iowa State. And the guys in the trenches in particular along their offensive line, they got 3 or 4 guys that are senior prospects who are going to be starting this year. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they get out there and compete and show. And then also on the defensive side as well, they got Ray Lima, who's their heart and soul up there, who's a big nose guard for them, Polynesian kid from Los Angeles. And, you know, and then he'll be up there kind of protecting some of the linebackers like Marcel Spears that they have. So they're really going to be an exciting defense to watch this year in particular. And it was a great practice to be at. And I echo that, Joe, with Matt Campbell. I think he's going to continue to do a terrific job up there in Ames.
Yeah, some people feel like Matt Campbell could be a future NFL head coach. He's definitely got that program peaking in the right direction, I would say. Of course, Joe Everett, Rick Saratella here with the NFL PA Collegiate Bowl Director of College Recruiting, Dan Vandernat. Make sure you follow him at DVandernat for all his travels. And, Dan, just give us a little recap of where you've been and where you're headed now on the scouting trails.
Yeah, this week up here in Iowa and, you know, capped off Iowa State on Tuesday and followed it up with Iowa practice yesterday. And I literally just walked off the field here in Waterloo at Northern Iowa University where they're holding practice right now. Going to head on out to see the Cornhuskers tomorrow and get out there in Big Red Country and go see how, you know, Coach Frost out there is putting together his team.
Well, Dan, I definitely, as we break down this next group, I'm looking at these linebackers and we're staring the 2020 draft cycle in the face. You've been doing it for a long time. It seems like the position has gone through a big change in what the league is asking for and looking at from when you started in the business to now. Like, how do you look at this position changing and what kind of overhaul it's seen?
Yeah, no, that's a great point, Joe. And, you know, no longer do you see the 250-pound linebackers who are almost de facto defensive linemen anymore. I still believe, though, that the first responsibility of a linebacker is to stop the run, and that's why they always still take their first read step towards the line of scrimmage. You know, if you can't stop the run, is I'm going to sound like a broken record here, and as everyone's heard probably 1,000 times, if you can't stop the run, you're going to keep getting it from offensive coordinators, and that includes in the NFL. So, number one, you got to be able to, if you're a linebacker, when I'm evaluating prospects, I want to see you be able to step up with a little bit of toughness and use your hands and to strike some offensive linemen. But to your point, Joe, the NFL has changed so much, and we all know that if you want to go cover tight ends like Travis Kelce and Jimmy Graham, then you're going to have to be able to play in space. You're going to have to be an athlete. And that's why you've seen the trend of what we used to call nickel linebackers now becoming starters in the NFL. Obviously, guys like Bobby Wagner, not the biggest guys in the world, only about, you know, 6'1", 230 pounds. And his ability to run, his ability to change direction, those types of things are what allow him to be, or in part allow him to be so effective from a coverage standpoint. So you definitely have to put a lot more emphasis these days when you're evaluating players on their overall athletic ability and their ability to cover not only tight ends, but occasionally have to get out there and go cover a wide receiver over the slot. So, you know, I definitely see that trend continuing as far as the NFL is concerned. And, you know, so nowadays you start looking for guys who are in the 220s now and, you know, kind of going lighter and lighter and faster and faster.
Joe Everett, Rick Saratella here at the NFL PA Collegiate Bowl Big Board Show, episode number 4. We're joined by the Collegiate Director of College Recruiting, Dan Vandernat here. Make sure you follow him at DVandernat. Joe is at Joe W. Everett, and of course at NFL Draft Bible. Dan, last one for you. We'll get you out of here. I know we're going to have Vaughn in just a minute, and we began our conversation with the additional scouts, you know, these guys coming over from the Raiders with you, Vaughn Hutchins and Dave McLaughlin, Riley McKenzie. Just give us a little glimpse behind the scenes, what it's like working with these guys, grinding with them on the scouting trails, what we can expect from each of these guys.
Well, I'll tell you, you can expect to grind from all these guys because that was the one thing that we all did in Oakland is we all, you know, kind of put our heads down and just got to work. And when you talk about Dave, when you talk about Rollo, man, those guys, they know what they're looking for. They're going to be out there hunting down these guys. And, you know, I was really fortunate because I got the opportunity to work with Vaughn, as we say in the NFL, in-house, meaning that we were both in the facility most days, you know, for a good solid 12 to 14 hours a day, you know, looking at pro film and being around the team and the coaches. So Vaughn and I spent a lot of time together. He was our assistant director of pro scouting out in Oakland. And You know, all the more reason why I'm so fired up that he's going to be canvassing that southeast part of the country, which we all know is littered with talent everywhere you go. So very excited for his presence and for him joining the show also.
Oh, exciting times here at the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl, and it's already begun because we're literally on location across the nation. If there's a player out there, I promise you, we're going to find them, and we appreciate everybody's feedback and nominees and email. So keep it coming, keep the feedback flowing. And Dane, we'll talk to you next week. I'm sure I'll touch base with you throughout the week, but always appreciate a few minutes of your time, and we'll be looking forward to that Twitter account there for your next travels and behind the scenes look at the scouting trails.
You got it, Rick and Joe. Always a pleasure, man. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Dane. All right, there you have it. The 411 on the latest here at the NFL PA Collegiate Bowl, the Big Board Watch Show. Of course, January 18th, 2020, out in Pasadena, the historic Rose Bowl, the ninth annual NFL PA Collegiate Bowl. And I will say the biggest, baddest, the best yet. I can promise you that. And we're so excited to have all these guys in the trenches. Of course, you just heard Dane talk about Von Hutchins, one of these, you know, former NFL players, former draft picks. So he knows what it takes to look for, what it takes to get there. And he's already begun on the scouting trails. We'll talk to him about that in just a second. But first off, Von, welcome into the staff. Welcome into the show. We just heard our director, Dane Vandernat, talk about your grind and you covering the Southeast region. Just spend a few minutes here, and for the listening audience at home, give us a little bit brief background about yourself.
Oh, man, Rick, I appreciate you having me on the show, man, and I appreciate NFL PA Collegiate Bowl for bringing me on and Dane asking me to take part in this whole process, man. Myself, man, I grew up in Natchez, Mississippi, went to school at Ole Miss, came in with Eli Manning and that whole crew under Coach Cutcliffe. Great group of guys that I spent time with there, and I was able to fortunate enough to get drafted in Indianapolis, where I went from Eli to Peyton. So I was fortunate enough to be around great quarterbacking for the vast majority of my NFL and early life in football. From there, man, I spent 6 years in the league, finished up in Atlanta after football. Again, fortunate enough to be able to take part in the scouting process, the player personnel process with the Oakland Raiders. Reggie brought me in 2012, and as Dane said, man, it was a grind, man. It was a grind. It was a process. We've seen the tough days with no money, no players, very few draft picks to – you know, bringing in Khalil Mack, Derek Carr, and that group of guys in that draft class that was able to ascend to the level, playoff level, and being extremely competitive in that AFC West. So, man, I'm just excited now to be a part of this process, man, a part of this show right now, and to bring some talent, man, to bring a different perspective to that NFLPA Collegiate Bowl.
Well, Von, thanks for joining the show, first off. And secondly, I'm in Indianapolis, so I remember you getting drafted. And just your background, I'm itching to ask. You practiced against Peyton and the Colts' great wide receivers, but you also, correct me if I'm wrong, practiced against a very young Andre Johnson. Who's the toughest cover there? I mean, you've covered some really good guys in the AFC South, so those opponents,
man,
that you've gone against.
I've been fortunate enough, man, just to be blessed, man. I came in the Indy. We had Marvin, Twayne, Stokely, Dallas Clark, Peyton Manning, Edgerrin James, Dominique Rhodes. Offensively, man, we were able to. I saw a lot of talented players in front of me, and then to go to Houston and play with Andre Johnson, man, 6'3", 220, physical, strong, big, you know. Played against Steve Smith. I played against a bunch of great players. But for me, the toughest part for me was guarding Marvin Harrison in practice. You know, if you could guard Marvin in practice, and the games became easy for us. The games became easy. I mean, we saw everything. Reggie Wayne, strong hands, man. You could have Reggie locked up. body on body, shooting through the hands, as they tell you, shoot the hip pocket, ripping his arm, and he still comes down with the ball. You go back to coach like, hey, coach, what am I doing wrong? Hey, keep with your technique. At some point, man, all receivers won't have as strong a hands as Wayne. Continue with your techniques. Trust your technique. Trust your own skill set and finish. Everything else will come.
Joe Abbott, Rick Saratella here with Von Hutchins, the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl Southeastern Regional Scout. Of course, 7 years with the Oakland Raiders, 5 as a pro scout, 2 as assistant director of pro scouting, now on the hotline with us here. And, you know, Von, one of the exciting parts for me, you know, with my involvement here at the NFLPA Bowl was, you know, I really had not met Dane, or I have yet to meet him, actually, but I have not really had a conversation with him until this whole process began. And just from the word of mouth, in the agent community, in the scouting community, nothing but positive things, really exciting about his enthusiasm, his open-mindedness with the whole event and where we can take this thing. And I know we all are shooting very high, but, you know, we just asked him about you right before you came on the show. What can you tell us about Dane?
Oh, man, Dane's a grinder. Dane's going to work long hours. He's going to put forth the effort. He's going to do the assignments. He's going to do them well. I mean, it's not much that I can add other than, I mean, you just expect the same on this capacity. You give him the work, he's going to grind, and he's going to take care of the business. He's accountable. He's respectful. He takes care of his work. And like you said, man, everybody has good things to say about him. And the insightful knowledge that he's able to, you know, to bring in just from the perspective of being able to build out our scouting system and the organizational process of putting together these numbers and putting together the board and just making sure everybody's on top of everything that's going on involving the scouting process behind the scenes. You know, that's paramount, being able to understand how you group these players together so we can rank them and be able to really be able to grab the ones that we truly want.
Well, Von, I got to know, like, where you're going from here. What's the next part of the process that you're involved in, positions-wise? What's your focus going to be going forth in the months ahead?
Oh, man, you know, I'm a secondary guy, man. I'm a DB. We're confident. We're attention to detail. So for me, man, I'm looking to bring some of these fast guys from the Southeast. Whether you're talking about inside linebackers, outside linebackers, guys in the secondary, DN. I've already been to Auburn, Alabama, just left Florida, Florida State. I mean, it's guys out here on this this on the road that, I mean, NFL teams are going to be salivating for. You know, they want to have everything from the background, from the skill set, from the character. You need all aspects of that in order to consistently be a contender on our level. So, I mean, I'm just beating the pavement, man. I mean, being a scout, it's not a glorious thing. It's not something that everybody can do. Everybody thinks they can come in and evaluate and do this and that. Yeah, man, you can watch the tape and everybody can TV scout. But just like I tweeted out the other day, man, stats and box scores don't tell the whole story. You know, you need to know what's going on behind the scenes. How does a guy learn? What has his development been like? Has he been affected by injuries? Are things going on behind the scenes that he can't control from a family perspective? You know, tell me the whole story about a guy. That way I know exactly what I'm getting with this guy. You know, if I'm a general manager, can I trust this man? Can I trust the man? The player is something completely different than the man. Can I trust the man? You guys got to excuse me, man. I'm taking a drive right now from Bradenton back up to Tampa, so you may hear some stuff on the road or whatnot. But, again, it's the grind. It's the process. But I love it. We should all love it. That's the only reason you get involved with this process. It's a love for the game, and you need players with a love for the game. Just like as scouts, you have to have a love for the game in order to put up with the weather, the consistent travel, being away from your family, those types of things. But – and I'm excited and anxious to bring forth a great event out in L.A. in January.
That's the sound of a road warrior right there. And, you know, we're going to leave no stone unturned. I can tell you that. We're all hitting our nose to the grindstone, running more miles than Fred Flintstone out here. And, Vaughn, I don't know if you have a parting shot, anything else you want to say before we get you out of here. Safe travels, man. We appreciate you joining the show. Any parting shots for the people out there?
And I'm just going to shout out that Ole Miss crew up in Oxford, Mississippi, man. Hotty Toddy. Y'all know what it is.
Nice.
Hey, well, listen, we will definitely get you on throughout the season. We'll have you on back on here sooner rather than later, and look forward to meeting you, my man, and I'm sure we'll cross paths on the scouting trails.
Man, no doubt, man. I look forward to speaking back with you guys in a couple weeks.
All right, take it easy, my man. That's Vaughn Hutchins.
Appreciate it,
bro. NFL PA Collegiate Bowl, Southeast Regional Scout, of course, 7 years with the Raiders in their front office, the pro scout, director of pro scouting, and, of course, a very nice career in the NFL with the Colts, Texans, Falcons. Joe, any Vaughn Hutchins stories you got for us out there in Indianapolis?
Oh, no, just a part of a great crew. I mean, a defense that, you know, we talk so much. It was the offense got all those highlights, man. But Meeks and just that whole group, man, they were always after it. They were, I mean, it just, they responded to every last thing. So it was always, and then also, I had no clue. He also played with the Texans, man. That's, it strikes, it never fails, these divisional teams. Within conference, but always within division. It's like, no, let me get that guy that practiced against the Colts, and we'll figure out all the secrets. Like these teams, they're always up to their old tricks.
No doubt about it. And of course, Dave McLaughlin, Riley McKenzie, also coming over from the Raiders. So just really decades upon decades of scouting experience. And we should also mention Ron Hill, who's our scouting operations consultant, and he's been involved with NFL personnel for the past 40 years. And, you know, he spent time with the Falcons, Browns, Cowboys, Broncos, 5 years with Tom Coughlin over in Jacksonville, 8 years as NFL VP of football operations. So, I mean, listen, if you don't think the NFL PA Collegiate Bowl is locked and loaded, let me tell you something. I'm just happy to be part of the process here because, wow, just being around these guys and learning from osmosis. Joe, look that up in Webster's. Did I say it right? But hey, this has been a fun part so far, you know, just leading up to the season and getting our schedule solidified. And I should let the people out there know, week one, geez, we're probably at over a dozen games amongst the scouting staff. I mean, we're probably over at a dozen games this first week of the season. I know I'll be going down to Charlotte for Gardner Webb at Charlotte on Thursday. Then Utah State at Wake Forest on Friday. And then this is the 29th, 30th, and then 31st we'll do a NFL PA doubleheader, ECU at NC State to kick off the day. And then we'll wrap it up, Joe, with South Carolina at North Carolina. And like Vaughn said, there's a lot of talent down there in the Southeast, and we're going to be on location across the nation. So, hey, whether it's D. Vandernat, or Vaughn Hutchins is out there on Twitter. If he likes you enough, he'll accept your friend request. I think one of mine is still pending. Of course, Joe Everett's at Joe W. Everett's NFL Draft Bible. We've got it all covered from the front to the back, to the left, to the right, to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. Worldwide, even international guys. You know, I'm working with my international connections, finding out, you know, what's going on over there with this combine held in Germany. And who's draft eligible, and if there's anybody that should be on our radar. So, you know, FCS, HBCU, international, and you already heard him say Auburn, Alabama. We're looking for the Power Five. I mean, and I think that's one of the greatest things about the NFL PA Bowl is the diversity of all levels of football. And it doesn't matter where you're at. If you're worthy enough, you're going to get the call. So, got to get the call to ball. Joe, linebackers, edge rushers, the nitty-gritty, everybody wants to know who's on our radar heading into the 2020 NFL draft. Of course, the 2020 NFL prospectus is coming out on NFLDraftBible.com. We'll have a lot of these guys we're going to talk about here, but let's take them one at a time. We'll talk about edge rushers first since we haven't hit those guys. Who's on your list of top seniors from the NFL PA big board?
As it always should be, Notre Dame, Fighting Irish, good at football. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Okwara and Khalid Kareem, I think off edge, those are the blue chippers, and for good reason. It's kind of eerie how similar built both of them are. I think Kareem's the longest one and more like the traditional base end. He's going to be playing with his hands in the dirt. Okwara, a little more mobile, I think might appeal to the odd front teams, but I think either of them playing any scheme, they appeal. So they're right off the top shelf. And then the guy I brought up, I'm watching. The reason I'm watching is just what Vaughn brought up. You can't box score scout. And you see Daryl Taylor's production from Tennessee, and it's like, wow, 8 sacks, SEC. It's, you know, that's like in 2 games. And just looking at his build, kind of definition of a tweener, don't see a lot of twitch or bendability. And, like, even in that Georgia game, everyone said, have you seen the Georgia game? Yeah, he beat a tight end, Isaac Nauta, and just got a strip sack. And Isaac Nauta just barely even tried. He just stood there and got beat. And then recovered his own fumble for a touchdown. He beat a redshirt freshman and then beat his backup. I mean, I don't know. I'm calling Daryl Taylor. I want to see it again. You know, the pictures or it didn't happen, Daryl. And then he's definitely on the board. Good player. It's just I want to get a little more proof on him. And then Jennings from Alabama feels like Anthony Jennings, the edge rusher. We've been talking about this guy for years. Gnarly injury was it 2 years ago, but gamer. Credit to him for being a tough SOB, just getting back from everything. And, you know, despite where his knee is, I say he gets drafted not only off production, but just off the multiplicity of things he brings to the table there. So he's exciting. And then, you know, after that, I don't know if I brought him up last week, but, yeah, it's just such a revelation to see Chauncey Rivers, Mississippi State, former Georgia commit, last chance you and all that. Now back on the horizon. And then Alton Robinson, Syracuse. I think both those Syracuse ends, really. Don't sleep on my boy, Kendall Coleman from Indianapolis, Indiana, Cathedral High School. But Alton, he's probably more of the prospect, just maybe originally commit to Texas A&M, but regardless of what he's got in his background, the ability is so there, the running the L and what he's got as an athlete. Really, as I said, both those Syracuse guys, I think they can both play. Then another guy, and I don't mean to be throwing shade out here, but Kenny Willickis, maybe I'm butchering that last name, the Michigan State, everybody's favorite walk-on turned All-American. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure what he is exactly, where he fits. I like him, but, you know, I wanted to say, oh, he's poor man's Ryan Kerrigan type, but he just doesn't have the twitch or the length of a Kerrigan. And right now, I don't know if he's an edge or an outside player at the next level. Maybe just that he moves inside and he's late in Van Der Esch stunt double, but I don't even know that he's got that kind of suddenness or length. It's just he may be pigeonholed as, like, you know, some demon special teamer type, but, you know, you love the Willickis story, no doubt about it, and his style, then no quit, but still it's just I think it's a difficult projection to see exactly where he fits in the NFL. And then the last guy, I'll tell you that I know this is like stupid, like I don't care where he fits with this guy, but the Fresno State edge rusher Michael Walker, you know, maybe he doesn't have enough size to play at edge, but there's some suddenness there, and he stands up to these bigger linemen, guys like double his size. He's physical enough to shed them and really use his hands well, and love the anticipation of the snap count. I think he gambles a little bit in that regard, but he's one that started just diving into a little bit. It seems like he can see some plays before they happen, and I think there's a chance he shifts inside maybe, because they put him out in coverage a lot at Fresno State. Maybe he's an Anthony Barr type of player. But the Walker kid from Fresno State, they have him at edge, but I think he's a flat-out linebacker and maybe position conversion. I don't know. There's a few of that in the senior class, like that Evan Weaver, California. I don't know what he is, but, you know, stay away. He will tackle you, maybe not even in a game. Look out, coaches. Everybody on the sideline, they're probably fair game too. Evan Weaver just tackle anything moving.
Michael Walker, quick, explosive, off the edge. But the one thing I wanted to follow up was the Syracuse. And, man, that's going to be a stingy defense. Let me just tell you, because they've got some senior playmakers. They got a kid back there, Andre Sisco, who's a true sophomore that could be a potential first-round pick down the line. And with those two guys wreaking havoc on the edge, I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity for Sisco to be making some plays there in the secondary. You got to love what head coach Dino Babers has done there. And he said, you know, Sisco went down to Walmart over the summer, picked him up some buys, tries, and pecs. And he's really hit the weight room hard. You know, I'll give a shout out here and shine some light on some FCS guys, because that's what I do. But, you know, shout out, first of all, to the Northeast Football Conference, the NEC. I was up there, you know, recording the first filming of the NEC Football Chop Shop. So we're going to be breaking down some NEC football each and every week with my guy, Ralph Ventry. We did a little bit of a preview, NFLPA big board preview on that'll be coming out on NEC Front Row. One of the guys we talked about, Cam Gill, our guy from Wagner, we've been talking about him now for 2 years, had a chance to go up to the campus and see him again after visiting with him at Media Day. And here's a guy that's just, again, got some twitch, serious twitch to him. Bend, a nice frame, NFL type of frame with room to grow. He could bulk up 10, 15 pounds, probably keep a lot of that speed and explosiveness that you see. And, you know, I don't want to give away the whole segment, but I'm just saying, look out week one, Wagner at UConn. There could be an FCS over FBS upset to start the season. One other guy I will mention, Rondell Carter from James Madison University. Week two, I will actually be at, I think, William and Mary on Friday, William and Mary at Virginia Friday night, and then James Madison on Saturday with Rondell Carter, the Rutgers transfer. Began his career at Rutgers, transferred over to James Madison, and has been a sack master, a true 43 hand in the dirt defensive end during his time with JMU. So yeah, there goes your edge rushers. We're breaking it down. Joe Everett, Rick Saratella here on the NFLPA Big Board Show. Joe, we're going to break down defensive backs next week. We'll sneak in the defensive backs and special teams guys. So that leaves only linebacker position, which we really haven't discussed. And these are non-edge rushing linebackers. Who you keeping an eye on this year?
Well, another guy, like I said, talking about him for years, Kalike Hudson. I think Michigan, a lot of people say, oh, it's the production dip. He's terrible. No, they changed it up a little bit where he's lining up, a lot more coverage responsibilities. And honest to goodness, I think they just let Devin Bush shine in that role, unleash him, just let him go downhill on everything. And really, I think it resulted in Hudson having a lot more to do in coverage, which will serve him well. I mean, I didn't like him putting on extra weight. I think the last weight we've got him is in the 213, two teens range, which that's probably all right for him. He's a guy, I think he'll step it back up this senior season. And then the Miami kids, again, like, how long have we been talking about Pinckney and Quarterman? And then the other, they've got a teammate still. You can't forget about McLeod. But I think Quarterman's the best of the bunch still, though, when I see him. And maybe it's just the reverse bias of having watched Denzel Perryman so much. Like, man, he looked a little stiff. Looked like he got limitations. Looked like the same daggone player at times. So I just like to see some ability to change what he's doing, break program, shift laterally, get out, and just move those hips a little bit more. A guy I was looking at that, again, it's so tough. I mean, you really, you got to know what you're shopping for, and I guess that'd be my thought on the whole episode there. It's just teams are shopping for their own flavor of ice cream. So, you know, what these guys can do and what you see, watching that Martin, Kamal Martin from Minnesota, they kind of have him as an edge nickel. Sometimes he's just contained, like zone guy. That he does a lot, but he's all downhill, no breaks in a lot of the snaps. I mean, he just flies to the football, and I think I see him as more of a linebacker at the next level. But like, there's so much he does in coverage to where I don't think it's going to be a problem for him. And he's a guy that may not have to leave the field either. So a Kamal Martin from Minnesota, I don't know what the league thinks of him, but he's an intriguing player because I just get like a flavor of Jalen Smith, all hard, all hustle type that just flies. And there's just a lot of passion, man. He's like the heart's on his sleeve as he's running out there. And then, yeah, like I said, I just don't know what to make of some of these guys. Evan Weaver's the perfect example there. Like, even to the jersey number he wears, but it doesn't matter. Like, the production is there. He just looks a little, like, rigid, right? Kind of high cut. And, you know, another guy does not afford you much laterally explosion, but he gets there. He finds ways.
He makes
if
some
you're
big
in
plays,
distance,
he makes
he's going to find
plays.
It.
Yeah.
And I don't care where plays. It is, though. He's going to make an impact, man. So I think Weaver may be the worst case special teams monster, but a guy that will not be surprised if it's 150-odd tackles this season because he's just going to get there.
Yeah, now Weaver is all over the field, has made some clutch plays, and right there in California, too, actually, you know, right in our backyard of the NFLPA Bowl is the UCLA linebacker, Keyshawn Lucier-Smith, South, who, you know, had a pretty productive season last year, but I think they're going to use him in an even more advanced role, and they're expecting him to kind of be the leader of that Chip Kelly defense there for the Bruins. Some other guys here, you know, Troy Dye, I don't think we touched base on him out of Oregon. Justin Sternad is a guy when I was at ACC Media Day, you know, he's actually his size. He moves around so quick. You almost think he could play safety, the amount of field that he covers. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if he bulks up for the next level. But he was very productive. I think 100-plus tackles there for Wake Forest. And then, of course, hey, got to shine some light on the FCS. Montana linebacker Dante Olsen, this time a year ago, he was just competing for a starting job, Joe. Former walk-on, I believe. And then all of a sudden, boop, boop, boop. Popping up on that NFL radar, I think he had 164 tackles last year, a bunch of tackles behind the line of scrimmage, turnovers, playmaking machine, a guy that'll be written up about in our NFL Draft Bible prospectus coming out soon. So there are some linebackers. Any other guys there, Joe, whether it was edge, linebackers, anyone I mentioned that you want to comment on?
I did throw a sleeper out there, the Bryce Dirk, Montana State, built like a condor. I don't know if he's an edge. I don't know if he's a backer, but with arms that long and a wingspan like that, that's what the pros are looking for, Mr. Sturk. So he's on the radar for sure.
All right, breaking it down, Joe Everett at Joe W. Everett. Of course, we heard from Von Hutchins, former NFL player, former NFL scout, now a Southeast Regional Scout for the NFL PA Bowl, and of course our Director of College Recruiting, Dane Vandernat, also coming over from the Raiders for the past 10 seasons. What a crew. Dave McClellan, Riley McKenzie, Ron Hill, Rick Saratella here, recapping it up and putting a big ribbon on it. But let me tell you, there's change in the air. There's excitement in the air. The college football season is here. And shall I add, take you back, since I'm here in New Jersey with the first ever game, Princeton at Rutgers. It's the 150th college football season. We are the NFLPA Big Board Watch Show. We will be back next week to unveil the defensive backs, special teams players who have made this really, you know, somewhat exclusive list, because I think traditionally, you know, people think of all-star game big boards and, you know, 500-600 players. We have a pretty prestigious, you know, we've kind of cornered the top 375 seniors in our opinion based on our contacts. Doesn't mean if you're not on the watch list that you can't make the game or the event. Hey, it's just a starting point, but I think, you know, we're laser focused here at the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl. Really looking forward to the talent that we're bringing in. Of course, January 18th, 2020, at the historic Rose Bowl, Pasadena, California, the 9th annual NFLPA Collegiate Bowl. I promise you, it'll be the best one yet. And I promise you, when we come back next week, we'll have an even better show. Till the next time, everybody.
The NFLPA Collegiate Bowl Watchlist Show is part of the All Access Football Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe.